To Mount Air Christian Church, hour of power. You got that, right? You got that. Some of you did. Some of you did. Some of you did hear this and thought, oh, Robert's coming soon. Right? Robert, sure, you remember this? Right? The hour of power, no, that program back in the 70s. This was the thing, right? The hour of power. Well, it's interesting how phrases do identify things for us, right? How we recall things in our memory about things that we hear. The Hour of Power was one of those programs that, I don't know, it impacted a lot of people because it was, I guess, one of the first televised Christian programs that was regularly on TV and so on. So it connects with some of us. You see, that's the way that culture is. When we're part of a culture that celebrates something, whether it is a good thing or a bad thing, and we come in contact with labels and titles and things like that, people or events, they somehow become integrated to our consciousness. They are somewhat and somehow identified in us. They become part of who we are in many ways. And I can imagine something like that happening this day that we are reading about in this scripture in Nazareth. What happened in that meeting house that day would become ingrained in people's memories for long. It would become part of their lives. It could even be labeled a powerful hour because of the meaning that that moment had. And it's not necessarily just the title. It's a powerful moment. A powerful moment for those who were there. But also a powerful moment for you and I who are sitting here reading this scripture today, 2,000 plus years later. And hopefully, after I'm done with this, you'll see why. Now, Luke wants us to see something that is different. Something that is different within this common event. Hey, people gather together on the Sabbath every week. It was the common thing to do for a good Jew. And Sabbath was a gathering, a time for a gathering, and folks gathered in the synagogues at the time. And something in this time that day was remarkable. Those that were present were participating in a normal service, just like you and I today. Just a regular Sunday, right? Just a regular Saturday, in their case. It could have been very, very much like ours, but there was a big difference. You see, we're tied to that thing in the back that tells me, Reuben, it's time to shut up. They didn't have that. You see, they came to worship on Saturday as their day to connect with God, and they didn't have the time limits that we have today. Worship for them was an hour of power. Or maybe call it a morning of power. It was a time where they gathered together to pray. It was a time where people would get up and read scripture. And it was a time where they actually dedicated the times to talk about what was written. You see, if the Broncos weren't going to play today, we probably could have one of those sessions, right? Who would it be? 3-4 hours just getting our hearts impregnated of Scripture. Getting our senses and our spirit down to hearing what God wanted from and for us. A time that they dedicated for learning, for worship, adoration, for singing, for consecration of their lives, and for spiritual formation. Imagine that, all that stuff happening at the same time. Without limits. Now, Luke here is a systematic guy. Of course, he we know, as we talked a couple of weeks ago, he wants us to see things in context. When we read Luke, we know that Luke is for the outsider. Luke is looking at the world and it's the culture with those eyes of those who come from the outside looking in. So he starts the chapter describing something that we could explore a little further. He says Jesus is full of the Spirit. Jesus is full of the Spirit. And when we say that, we know that there's something special about that moment. And we know that because when we read at the beginning of that chapter, we continue to read that he's going straight into his temptation. Right? Scripture says that he goes into the desert when the devil is going to have a time where he can probe, where he can just test this man and see, are you for real? But we also see that he is filled with the power of the Spirit when he returns to Galilee. So there's two different things that are happening here. And I don't know if you have stopped to think about the meaning of that. He is filled with the Spirit when he's going into the desert to be exposed, as vulnerable as he was, hungry and all, to this temptation. And then it says that he is filled with the power of the Spirit when he's going to Galilee. And I don't know, but I was stuck on those two different things. Because what in the world is the difference? Why does Luke tell us that this happened? Why couldn't he just say that Jesus went to Galilee? Why didn't he just say that Jesus went to the desert? No, he tells us that he is filled, full of the Spirit. And then he says that he is filled with the power of the Spirit. And again, I was just scratching my head through that. And then he's ready to read Scripture, which is a holy moment indeed. And we know that there's something different about it because he is, again, filled with the power of the Spirit. So I wonder, how did Jesus look when he was there reading Scripture? How did people perceive him? And why is it that Luke impregnates this context with all these assertions about the Spirit? Why does Luke create that environment as we read through this? And I tell you, I think that one thing is to be led by the Spirit and another is to be filled by the Spirit. Even if this the same Spirit that we're talking about, I think that there's different actions that are happening there. And before we go and talk about that, why don't we ask, what is the Spirit? Right? Actually, we mentioned this Spirit quite a bit in church. But I don't know, have you had an experience with that Spirit? Do you know who we're talking about? You know, maybe. I think it's really relevant for us to know. Because it really relates to this issue we've been talking about for the last few weeks. The issue of identity. Identity. Remember the baptism of Jesus. Do you remember, right? What happened? Yeah, well, there's something happened. Something happened there that actually is described. You know, the Spirit of God comes down in form of a dove. I don't know, have you ever looked at a dove? They don't look like much. It's just a little bird, right? I mean, if it was an eagle, then we would say, yeah, power, yeah, you know, an eagle, right? But no, a dove. What in the world is that? But what we see in that section is that it's not just the dove, right? But a voice that comes from heaven and says, this is him. Now think about that. This is him. So let's not get all too stuck on that little dove. Because the issue at hand is, who is this guy? And of course, you and I know that God is really pointing to his son and saying, this is him. Now, we read that in Luke chapter 3 a couple of weeks ago. You know, the Spirit descends upon Jesus in the form of a dove. But it was God who spoke. This is my son. This is my son. So we know that this Spirit is in some way identified with God, who is God the Father, and it is also identified with Jesus, because it's tying these three together. And now you understand that somehow we've had to understand what this means. God Father, God Son, God Spirit. And how does this relate? And we've called that Trinitarian theology, because there's no other way that we can explain it. It's the same person. But it's three people. I don't know. I'll let you at it. you figure it out. But whenever I hear that the Spirit is present, you see, this is how I see it. You know that people do act in different ways, and sometimes we say, hey man, this guy is like acting like he's a little nuts. Right? Or if they're acting really pleasantly in this, hey, you know, this person is acting as very pleasant, so we like that, you know. And in many ways, that is just a mark of the Spirit of that person, right? When somebody is really, well, you can say that that's what's within. That's what's coming out of this person. It comes out naturally. And I've told you before that sometimes for us it's very difficult to understand these three things. But if we think of ourselves and we think that we have a mind, right? And well, we have a heart, a soul, and that we have a body, right, Scott? Right? And that these three things are identifiable because we know that they are somewhat separate, but they're all within, then we can say, hey, this is like Trinitarian theology. You get it? That was cool, wasn't it? You see, we don't think of ourselves as three things differently. Separately, my mind is out here. No. It's in here. It's me. But we speak of the soul, Spirit. And it's not out there just moving around. No, it's me. That's me. So in many ways, that's what this Spirit is. The Spirit is like. It's a functioning like. is a characteristic, it's personality, it's what's within. So Jesus' identity is automatically in that day identified with the Spirit and identified with the Father when he was baptized. So we know that somehow there's this one God that is manifested in this. But this is not where I was leading. That was just an explanation so that you can take it home and think about it. But Jesus is led to the desert by? There you go, the Spirit. You got it. So you're right. He was led by the Spirit to the desert. He then is questioned there. As if he is the Son of God. Do you remember the questions? If you are, then, right? You see how the temptation went. If you are, so he's like putting his identity in question. And he's like saying, so you say that you are, so if you are, well then you should be able to do this and show it to me. If you are. You see, that's what the temptation is all about. It's about trying to shift this identity of Jesus Christ. He's trying to trick Jesus into thinking that he's not who he says he is. But then, you know, we know that his responses are telling. They come straight out of Scripture. And they do not submit themselves to the devil's whims. So we know that there is some kind of strength in this man. There is something straight about him. There's something strong. There's some kind of power behind Jesus Christ which doesn't move him around. Now this is really again important because if we're going to talk about this Jesus, who we call Master, Lord, right? There must be some legitimacy to his claims. There must be something legitimate about it. Otherwise, we would be wasting our time. Don't you think? Would anybody else waste their Sunday mornings coming to a gathering of people like this if they were just talking about Joe? You see, Jesus is questioned as if he was, and he responds as if he was the Son of God. Now, this means that the filling of the Spirit that he experienced was instrumental in his actions. It was important and relevant for him, and I tell you today, it is important and relevant for you. And that's no little thing. We want to be filled with the Spirit in order to be led by the Spirit. Are you with me? Okay? Now, where is the Spirit station? Where is that station, right? Because we go to the gas station to fill up the tank. Where is that Spirit station, right? So we can say, here's my credit card. You see, sometimes we're in a desert. But we want to work it out in our own strength. Sometimes we're there. But we want to do it in our own way. With our own ability. Sometimes we're hungry. We're hungry for something. And we are tempted with that which we're hungry for. And it so happens that we're filled with more with our own desires than with the Spirit, and we submit to the desires of the body rather than the desire of the Spirit. That happened to me last night. I had 2 servings of ice cream when I shouldn't have only half of it. It just looked good. There's only one remedy to that. It is to learn from Jesus. And guess what? I need that. I need to learn from Jesus all the time. I need to learn from Jesus. How is it that he can do the things that he says he does? You see, after an event like the one that happened in the desert, where Jesus is filled with the power of the Spirit, now things get serious. And I think that Luke was making that distinction for us because it's really relevant. Where does the power come from? Where's that filling station? And what is the power for? And I know that this is too much of a question to be answered in 4 minutes because that's all I have left. But I'll try. You see, to me there's a link here with the power of the Spirit and Jesus' identity. He says, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Now that's bold, isn't it? That is... Man, I mean, I don't know if I could say this is being fulfilled in your eyes today. He does not hesitate. He says, hey, look at me. Look, I mean, that's not the Jesus that we saw a couple of weeks ago in the wedding in Cana, right? As a matter of fact, that was the total opposite. He was like, no, woman, I don't want to do this. Don't get me involved. It's not my time. I do not want to be involved in changing this water to wine. I don't want to do anything about this because not yet. But now we see Jesus going for it. Hey, look at me. Today, Scripture, the Scripture that you have read for all this time, the Scripture that you know very well, is becoming reality. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to do these things. Bring you good news. Proclaim the release of captives. Recovery of senses to the blind. Freedom to the oppressed. And the proclamation of the year of the Lord's favor. Quite a list, isn't it? I'm amazed by Jesus' clarity. He had clarity of what his ministry was about. And he had clarity of what he had been selected and anointed to do. And in that moment, he declares in front of the people that were present that everything, all the works that they had seen and all the teaching that they had heard so far were part of a scheme. A scheme that was prearranged long time ago. It was predicted that he would be doing these things. And you know what? I think that that's great for Jesus. That's great for the man because you and I adore him, right? Great. You know, he was here, declare us free, and we love that. We love freedom. We love to have our sins forgiven. We love to be healed, right? We love it. That's why he's my man. But I only have one question. What about you? What have you been selected and dedicated to be and to do? What is it that you have been dedicated to accomplish during your time on earth? And even during this season of life, do you have clarity about it? And if you do, are you done? Or have you even started? You see, this is the question. Again, are you filled? Are you being led by the Spirit of God? Or are you being led by the spirit of this world? And I know, I said one question, right? What about you? I wrote that on purpose. I know that there's more than one question. What about you? Let's pray. So God, what about us? Do we have clarity, God? Have we come to the place where we are in tune with what you are doing? Have we come to that place where we know that we are being led by this same Spirit? Have we come to that place where we know that we need the power of this Spirit for us to follow you? And if we have, God, are we walking in that clarity? Are we moving in those steps? Are we going to the desert once and again? Or are we moving to Nazareth to minister? That's a question. And we ask it, God, today. And we ask, God, that you help us to answer that. In Jesus' name, amen.